flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show. It's an honor to be in the top five shows nationwide. It's an honor we hope to achieve someday. You're listening to the Annie Fry Show, voted number 6 in the nation.
You jerk.
Well, you know, I wanted to congratulate the show.
Which show?
This one.
Who are the top five?
Oh, the top five are doing a grand old time.
We're probably not allowed to say their names.
I actually don't remember.
Where does Wiggins America fall within this spectrum?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
It's on a different list. Number one on a different list.
It's number one in
my list.
In the Annie Fry Show list. It's number one ahead of the Annie Fry Show on Annie's list.
It's a real honor by Barrett Media to be named number 6 mid show.
Yeah. Mid-market, midday.
Yeah, that's us. About as mid as you can get.
Yeah, that'll come up later. We're going to play some more of those liners the rest of this. The whole hour is really devoted
to this. I thought we were going to celebrate this. God.
We are.
You
we
are celebrating our mediocrity.
No, that's your interpretation.
Yes,
this is a real cause for celebration. We've been honored, and we all are honored. You the most, but us... Me second most, then Brad third most, then Ethan fourth most.
Well, how would you compare the work, the effort that Brad puts into the show compared to yours?
I would say lower.
What?
Yeah. I know off air we have these discussions and it sounds very different, but on air, where it matters, I would say I am probably the MVP of the show.
You're so humble.
Well, I saved that for off air.
Oh. He's the most humble person.
What are you on air?
On air. I just like to
prideful,
go
cocky.
Full character. Just really embrace it.
Comparatively speaking, Ethan, the Brad input for the show and the Ryan input.
Then do Annie and Brad.
That's fair.
Brad is the backbone to the show and a lot of the structure of things getting done behind the scenes.
Yeah. Wiggins, Ryan's is like the gallbladder.
It's the appendix.
He's the appendix. That's what I was about to say.
But which one do you need
It's there,
more,
but huh? You're not 100% sure why.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, it leaks and all of a sudden it lets out a bunch of poisonous gases and then just it has to go.
Yeah, but one of them scares you. That's a skeleton.
Oh.
The other one, you know, it's kind of squishy and
lovey. When did
that
get brought up?
Well, you said he's the skeleton of the show. He's the backbone.
I was talking about the appendix part.
I'm not really sure where we are.
Brad?
We're back in the maze.
So, Ryan, just to catch you up.
Okay.
He said I was the backbone of the show.
Yeah.
Most of the stuff
reiterate.
That gets done gets done because I'm the backbone.
Right.
And then he said, you're the appendix of the show.
Pretty soon they're going to fight over
who's
the most humble.
Which appendix is that little dangly bit that hangs off of your intestine?
I thought he said gallbladder.
No, you said gallbladder.
I said gallbladder.
Oh, see? I knew it wasn't me.
And we're not really sure what the appendix does.
I don't know anything about internal organs.
And so we're not sure what the appendix does. We're not really sure what you do, but we know that we kind of need it?
No. I don't think you do.
Well, they don't take it out right away. They had wait for
right,
it to do something bad.
They wait for about 6 years.
They wait for it to do something bad, then they take it out.
They wait till about 2025.
Usually they know that it's a time for the appendix to go because all of a sudden you get a lot of severe pain in your stomach
Raise
around
your
belly button.
Raise your hand if you still have your appendix.
It's great radio content. If you still have it. Oh, I still have it. I thought you said you don't.
I had an appendectomy.
Did you really?
September 2017.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Do you feel different now?
I feel better than you guys.
That's when you started boxing.
It was kind of close.
She's felt lighter in her loafers.
I I started to have pain in my side, and I've actually had that ovary removed. Raise your hand if you have all your ovaries.
Zero.
I think I.
Why are you raising your hands?
Well, I have all of my intended ovaries,
yeah.
Which is zero.
I say, raise your hand if you have all your ovaries. And Ryan and Brad both half raise their hands like, maybe? You don't have it. I mean, I don't know. I guess I should not have put you out there like that.
Don't assume his gender.
I know. I think that's where I went wrong.
We are, just to reiterate, and I want you to continue, mm-hmm. but we are number six.
Mm-hmm. This is why. Yeah. we'll stop
reminder.
Doing this.
Please continue.
And we'll take the top five next year.
Yeah.
Do you know what it's called when you have an ovary removed?
Yeah, ovarectomy.
Oophorectomy.
That's what I said.
Two O's at the beginning of that mm-hmm. word.
Oophorectomy. Oof.
I had an oophorectomy in 2011 on my right side, had that ovary out, three babies after that, you only need one. And then I had great pain on my right side after my ovary had been removed, and so that's how I knew something else was wrong, and then went in, I think I went to the emergency room at about maybe 10 or 11 in the morning. They scheduled the surgery for that evening. I think I went into surgery at 7 p.m., and I was in my bed at 9:30 at night.
What?
Oh, that's impressive.
Yeah, it was like drive-thru. I don't even know if they stopped the stretcher from moving through the appendectomy.
Wow.
Surgeons are amazing.
It's crazy.
That's faster than you can get a margarita in New Orleans.
Again, number six. Lower the expectations, people. We certainly have a margarita, like yeah. a hurricane.
Well, they got those. No, they got those drive-through margarita places in New Orleans.
Okay. Do they really?
Yeah, they really do.
Every good joke requires context.
Yeah. Well, right now it's probably even more difficult because of how much snow. I saw a video yesterday of someone ice skating through the streets of like through Bourbon Street, and they had also had a huge snowball fight on Bourbon Street
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, it's. Pretty crazy to see the snowfall coming down in the South. Have you ever had, like,
I've never had
surgeries?
An oophorectomy.
An oophorectomy?
No. No, I have. You know, there's a name for it when they go in and they just flip your ovary. That's called an over-under. Over-under.
An oofer-under.
Oofer-under. Sunny side up is what the doctors call it, kind of slang.
Do they say good morning, sunshine, to you when you woke up?
Why don't you leave the studio and go get that story we were talking about?
It's a good time to remove the appendix.
We're digging deep here.
We could just play the other liners now.
Have you ever had a major surgery?
Yes, I had a hernia surgery.
That was recently.
Yeah.
Why'd you laugh like that?
Because yeah. I think I knew that.
Oh.
Yeah, it was probably while I was on the show.
That's not a major surgery.
Yeah, I had major butt surgery. Yeah, you want to talk about it?
Yeah, like, implants?
Oh, that's did you funny. Get I'm implants? Like, no, I really, yeah, I had to have my.
Now, okay, Brad. Brad. I mean it this time, Brad.
Number six, baby.
Seven.
Proctorectomy.
Oof.
While you're down there, can you just get rid of my butt,
Brad?
Just remove it. It's an ectomy.
Yes.
Shush. Answer the question.
Yes, I've had.
I need more than yes.
Several major surgeries.
He's creating space for me
save
to continue.
Us. No, save us, Brad.
You be quiet. I've had three knee surgeries. I've had several heart caths, and I've even had what they call an EP study, which is where they go into your heart and they shock it with electricity to see if they can get it to beat irregularly, so they know if they need to implant a pacemaker or something like that.
That's what they did to me too, but it was my butt.
Great.
I think I know what's holding us back.
Really? Is it the appendix?
I think it's the gallbladder, actually.
The executives in New York are like, oh, this show goes really well until about 2. What's up with that? It's a mid-market show that I could really get behind. Wait a minute. When I said get behind, Ryan had a look in his eye. Like he was going to make a butt joke again. I don't appreciate that.
Why did people in New York talk like that?
They have monocles.
And money.
Yeah, monocles and money.
Ethan, you ever had surgery?
Wisdom teeth removal?
No, it counts as a surgery.
That is the extent of it.
Did you get completely put out for that?
Mm-hmm.
Have you had your wisdom teeth out, Ryan?
Yep.
Were you completely put out for it?
Yep.
What about you, Brad?
Yes and no.
I think Jared didn't get completely put out for it when he had them out. I don't think I would handle that well. I think I would end up passing out.
It was
You can hear stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, it was the worst experience of my life because they had to break my tooth.
Yes. Why don't that turn on?
Yes,
you
I
had
understand.
Two heart attacks.
I understand. This was worse because they had to crack the teeth and I was awake for it and I thought the dentist was going to pull my jaw out of socket and he was slamming tools around as he was doing it. It was awful.
Yeah, he woke up in the middle of it. Guy was up on his chest, just like ramming things and
with a chisel in his mouth.
Chisel. Wait a minute. I think when I'm in a vice.
When you came out of anesthesia, did you do anything crazy? You would be pretty wild out. You probably are super serious.
I am. Like,
philosophically brilliant.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm like, Ryan must be out of anesthesia because he just wants to talk about erosion trends.
What are the...
In our nation's beaches.
Wait, it's the one lens that you have just over one eye, not two, not
that's
the glasses.
The monocle.
That's the monocle.
He had a monocle all of a sudden.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
Like, now that I've got my wisdom teeth removed...
There it goes. All your wisdom.
I have some thoughts about climate change. And they're like, oh gosh, here we go. Get out the camera. He's going to do
He's
going to do a TikTok video. me pontificating.
I had an exploratory surgery on said ovary problem that within a month I had to have them come back in and do an emergency removal of it. And so that was two surgeries plus an appendectomy. I've had four babies, but didn't have any. They were all the natural way with an epidural. I didn't have any C-section, so I never had to go through any of that kind of surgery. But I was always so panicky about how I would be coming out of anesthesia. I was,
yeah, because you're out of control.
I remember coming out. I remember when I had my appendectomy, I had done this twice before, had come out of anesthesia. You're in this like room full of people who are coming out of anesthesia. And I remember that after the appendectomy, I was laying there and I'm like, just keep pretending that you're asleep. Just keep pretending you're asleep. Like, come out of this where they are not looking at you. And I was like talking myself through it the whole time.
Uh-huh.
Just trying to be like, stay cool, Annie, stay cool. But it makes me nervous. You see some of these things, these videos of people coming in out of anesthesia just acting total fools. And I was so worried I would do that.
I've had two nasal surgeries. And the first one, I was real worried because it was the first time I'd ever been under. And I went through, it's fine. The weird thing, though, is that I remember being... Sort of. I remember being pushed into the off, like into where they're going to do it. But then everything after that, like my memory got erased way before the anesthesia was even on.
I think that's one of the drugs they give you.
Memory eraser?
I don't think it's intended. I think that might be an effect of it. I don't think
is it. They put up that little light and they hit it. And they're like, yeah. No, you don't remember that.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
I swear Tommy Lee Jones was here.
Tommy Lee Jones was there. Will Smith was there. The third one kind of sucked.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. Then the second surgery, though, that one, I was like, oh, I'm an old pro. It was the second same type of surgery. So I'm like, I'm an old pro at this. So I was like, I'll be fine. And I just tried to remember a little bit longer, and I did. But when I came out, I was like, I'm fine. And I just remember asking the stupidest questions of these nurses. Looking back, they're
Were you trying to be, like, serious and professional?
No, I was trying to be charming. And I was not.
Why?
I was not charming.
And you were aware of it then?
Yes.
Oh.
But in the moment, I was like, oh, man, I'm totally on right now. These people are having a great time. They're my audience.
Ugh.
And they were like, shut up. Oh my gosh.
When we come back, you're going to have, you said the top 10 things that helped Trump win.
So the top 10 moves that Trump made to get elected, you know, these are defined by the author, and we'll kind of debate whether we think these are actually the moves that did it or if he, you know, he should have done something different. I mean, he got elected, so it's, I guess, a little bit
in
the rear view.
But. Ultimate culmination of this is that Donald Trump, once again, in the Oval Office, we saw him signing, you know, executive order after executive order and proclamation the night of his inauguration. But I didn't realize this. You know, J.D. Vance, people talk about how he came from nothing and is now the vice president. He's been a senator for a minute, so it's not like he's new to Washington, D.C. altogether. But J.D. Vance, until today, has never been in the Oval Office before. Never graced the walls of the Oval Office. And Speaker Johnson found this out when they were going into... this might have been yesterday that the video was taken, but Speaker Johnson realized he had never been in there, and so he videoed it.
Margo.
Donald Trump ushering him into the Oval Office.
This is J.D. Vance's first time to step into the Oval Office. Wow. It's incredible.
This is incredible.
It's so cool to see these things happening and to see it in an accessible way, like a real way, not an overly produced video that's going to come out in a documentary sometime or whatever. Speaker Johnson holds up his phone and videos J.D. Vance walking into the Oval Office for the first time. And many people have, I've heard this today, repeated that every when you step into this office, every time you step into this office, it's like, wow, this is the place. So let's talk about those 10 things Ryan's going to present here in the next segment. Stick around for that. Vote in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Do you have a politically blended family? Yes or no? You could be talking your immediate family. You could be talking an extended family. You just clarify for us in the comments when you go vote and tell us why you voted the way you did. Let's see. Irv says people traveled there. Then, oh, wait, this is from yesterday. Let's get to Chris's comment. Yes, the ones married into the family give me a side eye when I see them once a year because I am a Trumper. You got side eyes in your family? Shelley said, yes, I think it would be very unusual for a family to have all of the same political views. And Goldfish says, no, we don't have any idiots in the family. Thank you, Goldfish. I don't know what your political lean is. So I'm either moderately amused or offended. But who cares? We don't have to worry about that anymore. We'll be right back.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're listening to the number one midday show in America, after numbers 1 through 5. So once you get through numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, this is the best one, the Annie Fry Show.
Congratulations again.
Hey, you'll go down with the ship.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about
you
that.
You might be at the helm.
Yeah, I'm steering this thing right in that iceberg every day.
Does JJ like it when you send him these things?
I think so. I think he does. He seems to, you know, he gives me a couple takes, and it, you can tell in some takes he's really leaning into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he likes it.
Mm-hmm. Pause for cough. Go on.
Yeah. So yeah, your question about JJ continues to be true.
No.
Oh, okay.
You're doing a story.
The story. Okay. These are, according to Real Clear Politics, the 10 best moves Trump made during the campaign.
Should we guess them?
Go ahead. I see people on the chat doing so already.
What do you got from the people in the chat? I think that, I mean, the lawfare stuff was such a key element to causing people to make a choice one way or the other. I want to say that the number one thing is fight, fight, fight.
I'm not going to tell you everything that's on this list. Okay. I will just tell you what they are.
Is fight, fight, fight on the list? Getting shot in the air and standing up and saying fight, fight, fight?
I'm sure that is. I'm not sure how he phrases it, though, because that's not really a decision that was made so much.
I think it was.
Well, I guess that part of it is, yeah. I'll just start with number 10. It says that when we're talking about the full campaign season, because some of this was outside of 2024, the first big move by Trump,
not debating,
was skipping the Republican candidate debate.
Yeah, it was beneath him.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, At the time, though, I still, even now, this is one that I still would have liked to seen him there. Whether it would have worked or not, I don't know. But I still would like to see the candidates debate as often as possible.
The game is to get the nomination. The only reason to participate in the debates is because you think it will help you get the nomination. He didn't need to.
No, he didn't. And he never needed to. Like, it was never a question that he was going to get that
nomination. And he knew it.
You know, there was a time probably in 2022 when DeSantis had a lot of momentum. And that was the only time that it looked like there might be a soft spot in the armor, but there never really was.
My support for Ron DeSantis, I still support Ron DeSantis. I think he's wonderful and I can't wait to see what he does next, was always because I didn't think that Donald Trump would be able to overcome what was being thrown against him incredibly unfairly. But it was never a, I don't like Donald Trump. I like Ron DeSantis. It was, I don't think Donald Trump can fight back in this climate. Every single angle they have to take against him, they're taking liberties far beyond what you would think are possible. So I just didn't think he'd be able to overcome it. And I was certainly wrong. And I don't think there's anything wrong with supporting Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. That people who are like pick and choose, those people all have some personal reason why they draw those battle lines, and I'm just not on that battlefield.
Well, pick and choose is part of the primary process. Like, you do actually have to pick somebody, but at the same time, that doesn't mean you have to hate the other person. You if you're going to vote in the primary, you got to pick, but you can say, well, I'm going to pick this person, but I'd also be fine with this other guy.
Yeah.
Number nine is, after cementing his hold in the Republican Party's base, as we just talked about, on February 12th, he announced his desire to see GOP Chair Ronna McDaniel replaced by North Carolina GOP Chairman Michael Whatley. Hmm. And with Laura Trump, he's going to change the leadership of the party.
What's she going to do now?
She was at that woke pastor
thing.
Yeah, but
she's family.
Yeah. I don't know. She's not part of the GOP leadership.
But it's really interesting because I was just thinking about that the other day. I haven't heard anything from her since she's step out of that role, resign in that role. I haven't seen her on any news stations, haven't seen her as a contributor. You know, I mean, even like Kevin McCarthy is doing hits on different news stations, but I just haven't heard anything from her.
The number eight reason or move that Trump made that, of course, worked, they all worked at this point, is that Trump realized his popularity would increase every time his enemies tried to put him in prison. So rather than resign from his campaign and concentrate on those legal woes, which honestly probably would have made them go away if he had resigned because they were purely political, Trump wore each new indictment like a badge of honor.
Yeah. The mugshot.
Mm-hmm.
His presidential portrait is his mugshot with a flag background.
Boy, it kind of is, isn't it?
I wonder if he practices that face in the mirror. Like,
but that, remember when that mugshot was taken? We were here. I think that was the, you know, we were here broadcasting that day.
That was one heck of a monologue.
Mine?
Yeah, that day. I mean, just about, I remember there being, just being such emphatic, like, this is more than just a mugshot. This is like, this represents something more. I mean, you were very emphatic and very serious about like that picture was more than just a mugshot.
Ryan, what do you think about that monologue?
I thought the same thing as Ethan, except worse. So I thought,
I gotta go back and listen to it.
I thought, gosh, that was a good monologue for Annie.
She really maximized out her capabilities there.
Right. Yeah. Glass ceiling.
Pretty soon he's going to call me abroad.
Only if I'm abroad.
Okay.
Like if I'm overseas, I'm asking you to come join me. You know, it'd be fun, like a vacation.
You can feel
that's
free
what I'm saying. If I'm abroad, you can be abroad too.
Go overseas. Thank you for the permission. I appreciate it.
Yeah, like if I go to Greenland, you know, if I'm Pope of Greenland.
I have to fight for that.
Number seven, the media also ridiculed Trump for campaigning in exceedingly liberal New York City. But once again, they played themselves for fools since Trump was spending so much time in New York City thanks to the Letitia James civil fraud trial, the E. Jean Carroll civil suit for defamation, and ultimately the so-called hush money trial and all these things. What choice did he have? He leaned into it and campaigned hard in New York City.
I think that the visual of him going places that didn't look like traditional strongholds did make it seem like he was casting a wider net, and that his interests and efforts were bigger than what the RNC and the Republican Party was typically interested in winning. It was like, we're not really doing it that way. And when you go to New York City and you do those types of events, I think it speaks to that pretty well.
And I think maybe to even add into that, you know, I think back to his big rally that he had at the Madison Square Garden. Uh-huh. And, you know, in my mind, I'm arguing, well, was location a part of that? I'm like, yeah, it probably was, because it probably doesn't get, you know, have like the far left people out there comparing it to the Nazi Party if it's not at the, you know, MSG, because that's where the rally was held all those years ago. And, you know, most middle Americans are not saying that anymore, at least, that Trump is a racist, he's a sexist, he's an evil human being. They're just saying, no, he just is annoying and he's prideful and I can't stand. That's honestly like mm-hmm. a lot of what the complaints are. So that probably was a huge turnoff to a lot of those people that ended up voting for him.
Well, even the smaller rallies and going to the bodegas and stuff like that beforehand, to see him walk through New York, which is supposed to be the heart of liberalism, and have those crowds screaming and yelling for him and people excited to see him, the rally in the park, was it at the Bronx, where it was full and there was a bunch of people showing up to support. Even if it's like only 10% of New York that did it, the visuals of that was, there was way more support behind him than they would think. And that was in the Democrats' like home turf.
Yeah, it's the media center of the world.
Yeah,
you're on their turf, and at least looking like you're winning. You didn't win the state, but he at least made that perception. It was a good move. These are the top 10 best moves that Trump made during the campaign season. We're debating them. This one controversial, I think, because at the time we did not necessarily think this was the best move. But seizing on President Biden's ill-fated proposal to hold a presidential debate in late June before either candidate was even officially nominated by their party, Trump again outsmarted the analysts. Trump was ahead in the polls. There was a general consensus that he had the most risk in the debate, but it proved laughable when Biden's performance exposed him to be cognitively impaired and dangerously unfocused.
I don't think I've ever said he shouldn't have debated. He threw down the anywhere, anytime, any place, I'll do it. And when he said that, he had to do it. I still think the Biden's people set him up. I think that Howard Stern's interview, where Howard Stern asked him if he wanted to, if he was going to debate, up until that interview, I don't think that Joe Biden had really put himself out there. And Joe Biden agreed to debate him there, and then that's when the questions started happening. Okay, fine, let's do it. When do you want to do this? I think I'd like to know if Howard Stern was put up to that, because I think they wanted Joe Biden out. I think he wasn't playing ball with the people who wanted him out, and so they set him up to fail.
There are definitely benefits to Trump having beaten the second choice, because he obviously had beaten Biden at that point. Mm-hmm. He beats the second choice in Kamala Harris, and
which
then
I think was also potentially a setup by Joe Biden for being undermined.
Totally. But it also gives Trump the air that, you know, oh, it wasn't just that you beat a weak candidate. It was that you beat
both
two different candidates and you won fair and square. But I also think that if he had waited, it was more of a slam dunk win. This is why it's a little controversial. More of a slam dunk win against Biden if you're doing it after the convention, after he's nominated. And I will say this, the only benefit at this point would be that I think he takes more Republican senators across the line if it's Biden, because of low turnout.
I don't think that if Joe Biden challenges you to a debate and you push it off, I don't think that Joe Biden is in it that late anyway. I think they would have done something else to take him out.
Yeah.
I think Donald Trump's willingness to say, I will take any of you Democrats anywhere you want, anytime you want, on your terms, on CNN, on whatever it was ABC, where David Muir was being his over-exaggerated jawline self. And, like, fine, I'll do it. I'll beat you with my best dominant hand tied behind my back. And he did.
It was like he was genetically engineered to be a journalist.
He looks like a cartoon. He acts like one, too. Probably employed by Disney. Anyway.
Number five, best moves Trump made to get elected, best moves he made during the campaign season, was to attract disaffected Democrats to his campaign, not just in voting, but Trump did something that would have been unthinkable 8 or even 4 years ago. He reached out to Democrats and found common ground, most significantly RFK Jr. He brought him in. And then, of course, Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, I think that's higher on the list than number five, but I'd have to wait and see what the first five are.
I do, too. Number four is, surprise, surprise, Bucks County McDonald's.
Yeah.
The restaurant appearance in the critical swing state of Pennsylvania two weeks before the election.
The whole McDonald's thing to me, if Joe Biden did what Donald Trump did, it would look super pandery. It would not be relatable. The only reason that worked was because of Donald Trump and his ability to be authentically Donald Trump in a McDonald's drive-thru.
It's very true.
Donald Trump didn't change who Donald Trump was to go in there. I mean, he was still wearing a suit. I think he took his suit coat off, but he was still wearing a signature tie and everything. That's real. And I've been saying this over and over and over again, but we're back to reality now. Thank God we are back to reality right now. If Joe Biden would have done that, he would have tried to do that faux liberal chameleon thing where he's like, I'm just like one of you. I'm Joe from Scranton and I ride the bus and the train. And you'd be like, no, you don't. I mean, you're worth an enormous amount of money, which you only made while doing public service, not anything that you've done on your own venture. And we have questions about a lot of it. You don't know what it's like to be us. And now you're pretending to be one of us because you think that's what we need from you in order to vote for you. That's not what Donald Trump did at all, because he's a real dude and he doesn't change for anybody.
And he loves McDonald's. And everybody knows that, too.
It's like a real endorsement.
Yeah. Number three. This is the assassination attempt you mentioned. Now, here's the way they say it, though. When you're talking about Trump's best moves that day, it's hard to ignore that the best move he made was his head turning to the right at the exact right moment, the immigration chart that was displayed on the giant screen. Now, that does go on to say the bloodied Trump raised his fist right after being shot 3 times and entreated the shocked crowd to fight, fight, fight. That was the stuff of legends. It says
the head turn, yes, but
it's hard to argue with.
I mean, to me, that's God. That's
right?
A God,
yeah, that's
thing.
That's not deliberate.
And you know, yesterday we took a call, and the person said that God didn't help Trump with that because Corey Comparatore still lost his life. You know, anytime you talk about divine intervention, which is what I believe that was, when you talk about a broken world, and yes, I was referring earlier in the show about human depravity and the idea that sin has broken everything here on this earth, which is why you need a savior. You don't need a savior if you're good enough. That's just plain and simple. You don't need someone to save you from something you can save yourself from. So you don't need a savior if you're capable yourself. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not. None of us are capable of doing that for ourselves. That's why you need a savior. That's why we need Christ. And that's why we're Christians. Plain and simple. It's not about being good enough. But in a broken world, that's where brokenness happens and suffering happens. And the Bible is full of suffering and of sadness and of the darkness of sin plaguing our world, which is how the good news, the capital G, capital N good news, comes in. It makes it, if you're somebody like Corey, and I don't know his faith life, but if Corey has the Christian faith and my Christian faith, then that wasn't the end of his life, that he will have eternal life beyond that moment. It's hard to look at any of these circumstances when you confine it to earthly measures. I believe that we live in a world where God could have divinely intervened in that moment to save Donald Trump's life. And while it didn't spare Corey's earthly life, I think there's a bigger story there. And I think all of that happens in a world where faith is still the ultimate comfort and explanation for situations like that. And I didn't talk about that as much yesterday after that phone call, but I do. I'm glad that Corey was recognized at that inaugural parade. Very appropriately recognized, because the divine intervention that saved Donald Trump's life did not save everybody's life.
Top 10 moves that Donald Trump made during the campaign season that got him elected. That was number three, and actually concludes with, you know you had a good year when surviving not just one but two assassination attempts fails to break into the top two. But number two is the most audacious political move of the 2024 campaign was Trump's decision to outsource most of the Republican get out the vote effort to two independent super PACs, Turning Point Action and America PAC. And it worked.
Yeah. And they targeted different people.
Yes, they did. And weren't they more in different, like, some of them were more heavier in certain states than others, too?
Turning Point was very active in the swing states. I don't know as much about the other one. I signed up on Turning Point's app, and I participated in that effort myself.
The number one reason that this article is from Real Clear Politics says that Trump's best move of the entire campaign season was the Trump dance.
I don't disagree.
I mean, it's best moves, so I think there's a little play on words there. But they're saying the Trump dance caught like wildfire, and everybody across the country and the world was doing it.
Man, you know something that's not on that list is the podcast with Rogan and Theo Vaughn and all that other stuff. I think that went a long way.
I can't believe that wasn't on there.
Who's the list by?
Real Clear Politics. Why don't you write them?
CareerAddict.com.
Yeah. This is from Mom Blog.
Mommy Blog.
Mommy Blog.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will react to our YouTube live chat poll and get your reactions as well. Do you have a politically blended family? Yes or no? Vicky said, yes, my kids, granddaughter, and I are conservative. My sister, who is a native California, extremely liberal, but we adore each other and don't discuss politics. Vicky, you found the key to life, prioritizing the right things. We'll be right back.
One thing about Annie Fry, she won't settle for second best. She will, though, settle for sixth best. Congratulations on this midday, mid-market honor. Congratulations on being mid.
You know you're a part of this,
that's
right?
My favorite one. That's why I saved it for last.
Number six, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Need two hands to hold that one up.
That's right. That's right. The trophy's so big. You need two hands.
I think I told you guys a story on the air, but I'll tell it again. It's real quick. My youngest daughter, Molly, when kids get play phones, when we were kids, you'd call people and you'd do business as a little two-year-old or whatever. What kids do when they pick up play phones right now is they fake taking selfies and
no
photos.
Way, really?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Even the little Fisher-Price phones?
Yes, especially them.
Whoa.
I have to fake taking pictures with those all day.
Really? Wow.
She'll literally look at it and be like, that's not a good one. And then we'll take another fake one.
Wow.
I'm taking bad fake photos.
Oh, yeah. You really, really hit rock bottom there.
Now when I hold up my phone to take pictures of her, because she's around middle school kids and now high school kids all the time because of her older siblings. Molly, she's three. We were like, all right, everybody smile. And she puts her hands up in peace signs and she goes, twos. Mm-hmm. So what's with twos? I can't even say twos. Sixes.
Oh, that was all roundabout because of number one, number two, number three.
Thanks for the explanation.
Gotcha.
You're not even there yet. Keep going.
Number four, number five.
Just takes forever.
And then there's us.
To get there. And then there's us. Yeah. One day we will aspire to be on one hand only.
We are really looking forward to taking a number two or a number one. Either way.
I'm going to send this to Barrett Media.
Yeah, just this. This is our submission next year.
I don't think this is going to help us. We don't submit to these things.
It just kind of falls
upon
us.
It's voted
it?
On by industry experts.
Okay. Okay.
Would you define yourself as an industry expert, Ryan?
I don't think they asked him.
No, I wouldn't. And I don't ever get asked, which is really indicative of where they think of me being in this industry. They're like, that guy doesn't know anything.
Do you have a politically blended family? Yes or no, Ryan?
Not really. I'm sure there are people in my family who are much more left, but we don't talk about it enough for it to really come up. And when it does, it seems like it's more joking. I would say no.
Ethan?
When you say family, do you mean immediate family or do you mean like the whole family?
I initially was going to write immediate family, and that was too many words on the YouTube thumbnail.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what, I'm not gonna box it in. I'll let people vote however they choose to. So you could answer it however you choose.
Immediate family.
Define family however you want. Like, you can say you and your wife, your larger family. You could talk about maybe, well, like, the little performers at Showbiz Pizza.
Well, we all tend to
what's
lean
wrong
the animatronics.
With you? What is the matter
my
with you?
My family is the drummer.
Are you on medication?
Time to turn off your microphone. Yeah. Time to take your appendix out.
Straighten things out. Your family, politically blended?
Well, I was going to say, you know, we tend to all lean pretty conservative. Mm-hmm. So I think I would say, you know, no, I'm just kidding. I would say immediate family, not blended, extended family, pretty big family. So there's a healthy mix, but I would say it's more so majority Republican still.
Yeah. What about you, Brad?
I honestly don't know. My family, my extended family, when we get together, that's not what we talk about. This past December, I got a little taste of some political leanings, but it's just because they found out that I'm on a talk show, and they're like, so what's your talk show about? And I tell them, and then like, oh, good. How do I listen to that?
Which version?
What do you say when people say, what's your talk show about?
Political talk is what I say.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. What do you say?
I say Annie does her best.
Oh, shush.
Just back to that old talk.
What do you say?
I say that we are talk first. And then if people continue to ask, I define us as hilarious. And then second, very thoughtful.
Thoughtful and hilarious. Yeah. Hilarious and thoughtful.
Hilarious and thoughtful. People are like, oh, really? You're funny. And I'm like, yeah, but we'll also really bring it home, too. You know, we give you a lot to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking for something that's really going to tug at your heartstrings, make you think, and also make you laugh.
He's just filibustering right now. He's just talking.
Well, I know we got a little couple minutes.
We don't need to fill time.
He started on the poll kind of early, so.
Kind of sounds
we hadn't
like,
talked about it yet.
It kind of sounds like the final scene in The Breakfast Club. It's like.
It's kind of the final scene of the Annie Fry Show.
Start playing that song, and then it would really be that final scene.
I certainly have a politically blended family, and I think that the politics, I mean, my politics, our politics are all out there. It's not like if you're in the family, you would assume that people know what you do for a living and you would be like, I'm just aware. I just assume that people know what I think politically. And if they want to discuss it, they'll bring it up. I never bring it up. And in fact, if I am in any level of mixed company and it comes up, I usually try to answer it in a way that is not disrespectful to the person who brings it up, but not in a way that instigates a lot more conversation. Because I don't want people to be pushing themselves away from me just because they know a vast majority of my political thoughts on anything, if they want to. And if they're disinterested in learning my political opinions on a bunch of things, they probably don't want to hear them from me in reality.
I scream MAGA, then 45, then 47. And then I ask him to repeat the question.
No. Oh. Okay. Ethan, you want to give us the results of today's poll?
Gladly. 266 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll, which asks, do you have a politically blended family? Yes or no? Semi-close today. The results, 65% say yes, 35% say no.
35% of the audience has a pretty left or right family. That's interesting. And of course, open to interpretation on how you end up reading that poll. That's why we like to get your comments in here. And I'll just finish here with Quick Ricks. He said, yes, our family is stirred and shaken. I guess that means blended. Thanks, Rick. Stick around, Mark Reardon, coming up next on 97.1 FM Talk.